Welcome to How to Build a Tent, the How to Make You Successful podcast. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. Well, it's official. The movers have come. We are living out of suitcases for the next 42 days. I am not sitting in my office like a lot of you have seen from watching the show. I am sitting on the floor. A very interesting way to do a podcast. It's extremely hot because the doors have been open. It's summertime, obviously, and in Hawaii, it gets incredibly humid, incredibly hot. I am waiting for the air conditioning to kick on, so I am sweating like crazy. Just wanted to share that information that I know you're dying to hear. There is a lot of interesting stuff coming out in the news on different product offerings. It's just an amazing time to be alive. It's an amazing time to have a podcast about different business ideas. And it's an amazing time to start businesses because of all the new opportunities that are coming out. And those are just the reasons I love this podcast so much. And not, well, I mean, that's one of the reasons. The other reason is how much it helps you guys, which I'm so thankful for. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in how to build a tent or HTBT in the memo field. HTBT is shorter. Put that in there. You'll get a free mug. You'll get tons of great benefits, including a 10-part series on sales, structuring sales. It is such a good series, and it's going to help you, even if you're not selling, understand. It's going to help you understand the sales process, and because you're going to be sold to. Either way, you're going to either be selling to people or you're going to be sold to in some shape, form, or fashion. And this is just a great series to get your hands on. Really excited. It's the first like business content that's going to be out there. I've been talking with the guys also about a lot of other business related things that we can be doing for my membership, their membership, putting them together, seeing how that goes. So I'm really excited about what the future holds. That show that I had talking about not needing another social media platform, but Christians advancing in all these different areas, not just with coming up with new products, but in their careers and these big businesses that exist. And then Marcus's show critiquing me, quote unquote, but really agreeing with a lot of what I was saying, has really just like motivated me to figure out ways that we can help each other raise money, support each other, and like come alongside of us with our skills and helping each other be more successful. So I am working away at that, figuring out a best business structure to help facilitate that so we can start getting participation with that, where you guys, you listeners, can participate. You can help support Christians and their businesses. You can come with your own business problems and get support and get some help from other Christians. And I'm just really excited about it. It's like the next level of what this show is all about. The show is about how to make you successful. This next subscription that's going to be coming out is going to be about helping you be successful and like literally giving you the tools you need and giving you the ability to help other people as well. So I'm really excited about that. Keep an ear out for that. More details are going to be coming out. And don't miss a show because you are going to miss the great things that are happening. Another great thing that's happening is we're going to be recording on CrossPolitik, a whole bunch of us, actually. We're going to be recording on the CrossPolitik show. I think it's for the Sunday show. It might be for the Wednesday show. I'm not sure, but we are going to be recording. I'm going to be calling in. If you don't normally listen to that show and you just listen to How to Build a Tent, check it out. I'll be on there. We're going to be talking about a law that passed in the House but didn't pass in the Senate that is including the to making it illegal to discriminate against the LGBTQ crew and what that implication means on a whole bunch of levels. And they're going to want me to talk about it from a business perspective. So stay tuned for that or tune into that or download it is probably the new way to say it. I always say tune in and I always correct myself because no one tunes anything anymore. We download a podcast, we Google it, we live stream it, but we definitely do not tune in to it. If you have any questions, comments, you want me to cover a certain topic, you disagree with me, this is your first time hearing the show and you're like, wow, I'm surprised it's really a good show. I had somebody email me, a couple weeks ago, and they said, I never watched your show or listened to your show because I thought it was about business and I don't care about business. It's like business is one of the least popular topics to have a podcast about. And they said, oh, and we just happened to listen to one, and I loved it. And that's like the greatest compliment I can have, that you don't even necessarily like the topic we're talking about, but you enjoy the show. So thank you for all of those people who stumbled on the show, decided to give it a shot, even though they didn't think they'd like it, and turned out to like it, and they're listening. You guys are so welcome. If you're one of those people, just let me know. That makes my day. Or even if any positive, I guess you can give me negative feedback as well. But I would love to hear it. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, including Minds. If you haven't got on Minds yet, get on there. I'm not paid to tell you that, but I just think that we should be going to platforms that aren't censoring Christians, conservative thought. I don't even know why I'm censored. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I'm talking about ways to make you successful, and I'm getting censored. It's like people are like, hey, I shared your show, I shared your podcast, and I got one view, or I got no views. I have thousands of followers. I got zero looks on it, or zero impressions. And I don't know what to tell you. I guess Facebook doesn't like making people successful or something like that. Or maybe it has to do with my Christian rants. Probably the latter. All right, let's get into some of this really interesting news. This first one is by a startup fintech company that is financial technology. They put it together, make fintech. They are called Home Diversification Corp. And this is a very interesting idea, and I'm not quite sure how big of a fan I am of it, but I wanted to throw it out there for you guys to be thinking about too. I think it would be an interesting thought exercise for us to go through. I don't have the answers. I'm not going to give you the answers, but maybe this is something that you can think through and develop. Give me your opinions. Give me your feedback about what you think about this. But it's a newly established industry called home diversification, and they are going to be coming out in the third quarter, and it's the product is a home diversification agreement, and will be made available to the industry partners and the general public in the third quarter of this year. So it's coming up. It hasn't been released yet. And what it is this home diversification corporation is enabling homeowners to switch their volatile local market home price value, typically 72% more volatile, which I'm not sure where that figure is coming from, but for that of a broader and more stable countrywide home price index. This new product is designed to reduce risk for all the stakeholders and provide much needed stability in the housing financial system. And I think, ooh, that's kind of interesting. I mean, a home is going to be a majority of us' biggest purchase. We don't like volatility. We want things to be smooth, predictable. We want to have some security, and especially in our home and our nest egg. And so, hey, why don't we diversify and not just tie the value of our home to the market that we're in, but tie it into several thousand different markets across the country and have a more stable price. So if I go buy a home in, well, in California, the big place was San Bernardino and Corona, Inland Empire, back in the day during the housing boom. And it was crazy. That place, with traffic, is 3 hours away from LA. And I knew people that were buying homes for like $800,000. These houses are worth like $300,000, but they were going for $800,000 to $1 million. And they would work in LA, and they would be driving from San Bernardino, Inland Empire, Corona, wherever, to LA to work every day. And they were commuting like 2 to 3 hours both ways. So 2 to 3 hours both ways, 6 hours of commuting a day. It was insane. I knew, and it wasn't just like one crazy guy I knew. I knew several people that did that. And a lot of them ended up foreclosing on their homes because they bought a home that was like three times more than what it was worth. And they were upside down and they took out loans. It was just terrible. But anyways, so if you buy a house there and the market just crashes like that for San Bernardino back in 2008, 2009. And hey, but maybe LA or Hawaii, where prices are way more stable, that helps you not lose as much money. And I'm like, okay, that might be cool for the homeowner, but doesn't that incentivize people to make bad decisions and buy homes in high risk areas? And that's where I don't know if this is a good or bad thing. And also, I'm not quite sure how this company makes money. So that would be an interesting thing to think about with this product. And what happens if this company goes out of business? You buy this product, you take a risk on a home, and maybe you take a little riskier risk on a home. Maybe you spend a little more than you think you should for a certain area, and the area crashes, and you're relying on this agreement with this company, and it turns out they went out of business. It's a little interesting kind of dynamic. So what do you think? Do you think it's good? Do you think that it should be allowed? Do you think the government should get involved with letting these products being sold to where people, it encourages more risky behavior maybe, and it could leave people in a lot of trouble where maybe we need to have some bailouts again in the future? And I say need in quotes because that will be a political push. I never think we should have bailouts. I'm definitely conservative, so don't email me saying like, oh, you are for big government. I am not. I'm just saying that if they're going to have a bunch of people lose their homes or buy these products and be out of money, what's going to happen with this? I don't know. So interesting. Think about it. The company is called Home Diversification Corp. If you want to research it, think about the product some more. Is it good, bad? Would it be something you're interested in and you want to let me know what you think? I'd love to have that conversation further. The next article is titled, How Robots and Your Smart Fridge Can Keep You Out of a Nursing Home. How can robots and your smart fridge can keep you out of a nursing home? And I thought this was interesting, not because we should let robots take care of our parents and our grandparents. We should be honoring our parents and honoring our grandparents and not sending them to convalescent homes, not letting technology take care of them, but serving them. I think that is something that God has ordained and created. But hey, robots and smart fridges and Alexas and those kinds of technologies are a good way to help. But it shouldn't be like we abandon them and never see them again because we're going to let technology take over. But it was just a really fascinating article talking about how this new wave of technology with Internet of Things, that is like the physical devices that we have that are connected to the Internet, Alexa being able to command your, I mean, since we're moving, we left our washer dryer here, we're buying a new washer and dryer. And Alexa can communicate with your washer and dryer, and you can tell it, Alexa, to tell your washer and dryer what to do. And also, with the incorporation of new services coming in as well and integrating with the Internet of Things, integrating with Alexa, where you could order food just with Alexa. You don't even have to have your physical device in front of you. And that is interesting and something I think we need to think about. We need to be thinking not about how our houses work today, but how are they going to work in the future, and look for different opportunities for us to take advantage of that. What services could we provide? Maybe it's not to the elderly. Maybe it's to the millennials buying a home, or maybe it's the multi-generational housing where people live with their parents. What kind of technology, what kind of services can you provide that isn't provided today that you think will be needed in a new era, new digital economy, new products, new services, where we can order things, we can get our people to come to our door simply by talking to Alexa, simply by taking something out of the fridge and the fridge sending an email or an order to Amazon to reorder the product. Very interesting to think about. And I mean, if you hear, I don't know if you've ever seen Bill Gates' house or read about it. It's, you walk into the room and they know you, like wear a wristband or something. I forgot what it was, but it's some kind of chip that you have and it's like unique to you, and it'll play the music you like. It'll put the art on the wall that you like. It'll have the air conditioned settings on what you like and like what your preferential temperature is. And that's like we're going towards that world. I don't know what it's all going to look like, but there are going to be great opportunities in there. There's going to be great businesses to be created from different things. And maybe it is helping with taking care of the elderly. Maybe it's with the Nest thermostats or something like that, where you're creating a new integration between your television and your refrigerator. Maybe you can sell ads. If your refrigerator your refrigerator could keep track of what products you buy, and it could send to Alexa that information, and then can trigger your smart TV to show ads specifically for the things you buy that are your low at. And it can remind you to buy that new product. Or it can just say, like, hey, you're low on this. And like you're watching Hulu and it's an advertisement. And maybe you created some software where that advertisement is based on a product that you have in the fridge, but it's running low and you need more. And it just tells you, hey, just say order now. And then you say order now. Hulu transfers that to Alexa. Alexa orders it on Amazon. The service comes in and puts it in your fridge with the Amazon key. Like, those kinds of things are going to happen. Those kinds of things could happen today if someone was thinking through programming and you thinking of all the devices that we have that are smart devices that can talk to each other. Like, those are the kinds of things that we're going to start to see. And those are the kinds of things that you should be thinking about if you're looking to come up with a product, if you're looking to do a startup. What are going to be the needs in 5 to 10 years? I can really see something like that happening in 5 to 10 years. So I thought that was a great article. Don't abandon the elderly. Take care of them. Serve them. That is what God has for us. All right, the last thing I want to talk about, and I think I mentioned it a little bit before, but I want to talk about Qualcomm. And this is a really interesting one to me because I don't know if you have been paying attention, investing in Qualcomm or not. I've been starting to research them heavily because I think they're oversold. And I am starting to seriously think about putting some more money into them. And this is why. They have no doubt been taking a hit lately from the trade wars because they provide chips to Huawei, and then now they're not going to be able to sell to them anymore. And then also, I don't know if you heard of this in the news, they lost a court ruling. The government brought an action against them for how they were making money and how they were structuring contracts requiring companies to pay for their chips even when the phone didn't have it in them. They would make a royalty, from what I understand, off of a phone, even if it didn't have the chip in it, because their chips are so good, they're so advanced, they are so in demand that they would create deals where a company would buy chips for their smartphones, but then they would have to pay them a royalty, not just on the phones they use the chip for, but phones that they didn't use it for. And so Qualcomm was making straight 100% profit off of those because there was no cost. And they were making hand over fist for such a long time. And the court ruling came out and said, nope, you can't do that, and really like bombasted them. And it's going to be appealed. It'll be interesting to see on the appeal. And this is why the article is very interesting to me. 5G is the new frontier. It's the next thing coming out. It's going to be so fast. I think some estimates are saying it's 40 times faster than 4G. And that's what's going to make autonomous vehicles work. That's what's going to make a lot of this new technology interact with each other. An instant, and just like, this is what's going to be like driving the new economy. And the government knows this, and so do all the other governments. And Qualcomm is one of the, I think it is the only chip in the United States that makes the chip that for 5G. All the others are foreign companies. And it's almost like a national security thing where they have to protect Qualcomm. They were going to be bought by another company, and the government told them no because of this very thing, the technology of 5G. So what does that mean for the stock? Do we think that the government is going to let them crash and burn? Are we going to think that the government is going to let them not make a profit like they are? Or are they going to come around them like protected resources like steel and uranium and all? Well, not, it's not protected under the Clintons. I mean, the Clintons will sell it off to the Russians. Or are they going to come around side and support and prop up Qualcomm, because they are the ones that are going to keep America in the driver's seat, advanced technology, because like our internet sucks compared to other countries like South Korea. But like our hopes and dreams are on 5G, and our hopes and dreams are turning out more and more to be on one company, Qualcomm. So it's a very interesting company. It's a very interesting case study. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this as well. Not only do you think Qualcomm is oversold and you should buy it right now, I know some people on Twitter have been reaching out to me about that, but also, do you think the government should play protectionism with this company because of how valuable their technology is and how important 5G is going to be for the economy. Like, should we be caring about what these other companies are doing when how they are playing and interwoven with our enemies like China? Like, should we just not care and let the Chinese spy on us and use their technology that we're unsure of? Or should we be protectionist and make sure Qualcomm stays in business, make sure they stay profitable so they can keep reinvesting and staying ahead of the curve? I'd love to hear about that from you as well. All right, if you have any questions, comments, or you want to share me your thoughts, I'd love to hear about it. You can email me, matthowtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Give me a follow, give me a like, and please share the show. It's such a simple thing to do, but it's such a big thing that really helps a lot. And now let us go out and be successful together.